Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Psalm 51 is the psalm that we're going to be looking at today. Psalm 51. This psalm is a story of David the king, King David, and it's actually about his fall, his sin, his repentance, and ultimately the restoration that God gave to him in his repentance. And if you look at the introduction of this psalm, I think it's really interesting. I thought as I was reading through this, there was something interesting about it. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. One brief sentence, and there's a whole lot behind that one little sentence, isn't there? And it's just amazing the things that went on through that. And it's actually, if you want to see the full story of that, it's actually found in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. This is where David's sin was being exposed by Nathan, and the sin that he committed, where he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered his husband Uriah, and then he tried to cover up his sins. Ultimately, all of his sins were exposed by Nathan the prophet, and so we see that full story being revealed. Out of this one brief sentence that we find in the introduction of Psalm. What's interesting is if you look through that story in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, in 2 Samuel 12, verse 13, we see David's response to Nathan exposing him and his sin. And 2 Samuel 12, 13, David says this, I have sinned against the Lord. Now it's flipped. Behind this one sentence that is recorded in David, there is a whole lot behind that sentence. And that full story is actually found in Psalm 51. This is the story of David's heart as he's revealing his story from within. This is what Psalm 51 is. It is the expanding of that one sentence of David, I have sinned against the Lord. It's interesting is Psalm 51 is actually found right in the middle of about six psalms, that within those six psalms is this thread of the warnings of sin, of like taking away your trust in God and putting your trust in riches or in other things, and how that exposes and how that will affect your faith in God and your trust in God. And in the middle of that thread of warnings and revealing the effects of sin, right in the middle there is this Psalm 51 that points us to our need for repentance. And it also shows us what repentance actually looks like. And this is what we're going to see here. So this is really for our good. This Psalm 51, this is really helpful for us because David isn't the only one who messes up, right? I mean, we all mess up. We all sin. It may not be in the same way that David did. It may not be to the same extent that David did. And it may be less and it may be more. But regardless, our response, the shame, the regret, and the cleansing that we desperately need is the same as what David needed. Our need for cleansing, our need for restoration is no different than David's need for his repentance and for cleansing and restoration. And so we're going to see through David's heart, lean into his heart a little bit, so that it'll help us in our repentance, so that we also will see the forgiveness and the restoration of God in our lives too. So Let's start by looking at this psalm. We're actually going to go from this in a different direction. We're going to start in Psalm in verses in the middle of the psalm, in verses 9 and 10, because in this verses 9 and 10, there's a clean break between the focus of David, the first part of David's focus, and then the second part of David's focus on this psalm. It says this, verse 9, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." Verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In verse 9, the first part of what David focuses on in his repentance is he asks God, he pleads with God to remove his sin from him. He says, "God, hide your face from me." This is what he's talking about as he summarizes that in verse 9. "Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities. I know I'm sinful. I know I'm dirty. And I need you to cleanse me from my sin." That's the first part of that psalm. Then he transitions from there to the second part of the psalm where he starts it in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, restore me to where I need to be." And David fully confesses that it's only God who can do that. So David, in his repentance, shows us where we need to be in our repentance. So our time is brief. This is a long psalm. It's 19 verses, so we can't go into it in the depth that we could in some of the shorter psalms. So this is one where I can guide you on the surface level of this psalm, but also remember to take time throughout this week as those thoughts are fresh in your mind so that you can see, take those thoughts that we look at today and dig deeper into them to see the deeper connections of how that works in your life and in your repentance. Because there will be a day that you will be glad that you have invested the time now into this to help you to see what it really means to repent, what it really means to have your heart cleansed and restored from the words that we see in this psalm, all right? Take time to do it. Like we say often in these psalms, Selah it. Think about it. Praise God for the goodness of the truths that are found in this psalm. So let's jump in. Verse 1 and 2. In the first part of the psalm, we see David's repentance. Verse 1 and 2 says this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David's first response, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." David's first response is to cling by faith. This is so important. There are so many aspects of faith and trusting in God in this psalm. It's incredible. Repentance is literally an act of faith. It's an act of trust in God that he will do the things that David is requesting and that we also request. And so the first act of faith we see here is David clinging by faith to God's loving kindness. And that's the interesting thing. Verse 1 points out the multitude of thy tender mercies. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Oh, thank God for the multitude of God's tender mercies. I think of that song, "Our sins may be many, but your mercy is more." Oh my goodness, boy, how does that not apply here? Oh, so amazing. This is so amazing. You are the one who must wash me. You are the one. You, in your mercy, are able to thoroughly and completely cleanse me from my sin. We will never out-sin God's mercy. His mercy comes to us in how completely and how fully he cleanses us from our sin. And that desire of David and that we see in verse 1 and 2, that desire of like, "God, cleanse me, wash me, and it's only because of your mercies that I can receive this." The reason David is pleading with God to do that is because he is fully aware of the stain of sin on his heart. He's aware of the awful stain of sin, and he admits that, and he reveals that in verse 3. He says this in verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." David said in verse 3, "My sin is ever before me." The stain, the reminder of sin, tends to stick to our soul like a stain that you just can't get clean, right? You know that feeling? It just like, it flashes before your eyes. It flashes before your conscience. And it, no matter how hard you try to scrub it away from your heart, it still seems to stick there. It permeates into our conscience over and over, reminding us of our weakness and of our failure. But the interesting thing is that vileness of sin is also in God's sight. Not only is my sin ever before me, verse 4 says, "I have done this evil in thy sight." The vileness of sin is in God's sight. David said he's done this evil in God's sight. It was not hidden from him. It wasn't just something God heard from one of his angels. "Hey, Steve sinned. He messed up." It was something that sin is done in God's sight. He saw it. David's response, "Before you, God, my only answer is this: I am guilty. Whatever your judgments are," the last part of that verse, "whatever your judgments are, whatever you decide is my judgment. It is fully right. I am fully deserving of it. I'm guilty." This is important. David doesn't say that he was actually a really good person, just got caught up in some really bad circumstances. "In my heart, I'm good, Lord. You just put me in a really bad spot there." No, he doesn't say that. He isn't giving excuses. He's fully acknowledging his sinfulness. And more than that, he's not acknowledging that he sinned, that he did something bad. He's acknowledging that he himself is a sinner. It's part of who he is. Verse 5 and verse 6 tells us this: "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." It's who I am. "And in sin did my mother conceive me." This is talking about original sin, the part of who we are as not good people who get sometimes caught up into bad situations, but it is literally our existence. Verse 6 says this: "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." What's he talking about? God wants us to see us for who we really are, to see the truth about ourselves on the inside. I was talking to Ben, and maybe I even mentioned this to Dan too. If sin were the color blue, it wouldn't just be that our thoughts and actions would sometimes have blue in them. It would literally be every thought and every action would be consistently tainted in the color blue. We would have the hue of blue in every aspect of our thoughts and in our actions and in our words. When we choose not to be blind to that, when we choose not to ignore that or set it aside, it is then that God reveals to us the wisdom of his faithfulness in cleansing us from the stain of sin on our hearts. "As dirty as I am, God, I know that if you cleanse me, I will be clean. No matter the multitude of my sins and the evil in my heart, if you cleanse me, God, I will be thoroughly and completely, fully clean." Verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, so I shall be clean." I will be clean. There's that trust. There's that leaning in on the act of God cleansing us. "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow, purely cleansed, no more stain." Verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness. that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. This is faith in action. I trust you to fully cleanse me from my sin. But also, and catch this is important. In the same way, I will rest in the fact that you will use the brokenness that led me to repentance, will also lead me to the joy and gladness of being completely forgiven and cleansed. The brokenness, the broken bones that led me to this point of repentance, in the same way that you led me to repentance, so also will you lead me to joy and gladness through your forgiveness and your cleansing. That's trust. That's trust. But then he goes beyond that. Not only do I trust you in cleansing me, in leading me, but also I trust that you will not remember my sins. That God himself will not remember, that he will hide his face from my sins. He will blot out all mine iniquities, not just from my heart, but also from his memory. Psalm 103 lines up beautifully with Psalm 51. Psalm 103 verses 10 through 12 says this: he hath not dealt with us after our sins. Praise God for that. Oh, wow. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. His mercy overwhelms us. Our sinfulness will never overwhelm him. His mercy is much greater. Verse 12, right? That's where we ended. As far as the east is, I love this. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Can you see through David's repentance our need for repentance? Can you see how repentance is part of our faith in trust and in God's goodness and mercy? How our hearts need to be completely cleansed by God's grace and mercy. Repentance is such a critical aspect of our continual walk with God as we trust in him and cling by faith to his goodness, his kindness, and also his mercy and long-suffering. But here's an interesting aspect. He doesn't just trust in God to cleanse his heart. It doesn't stop there. He keeps pushing in, keeps leaning into, trusting in God's goodness. He trusts in not just the cleansing, but restoring his heart. This is the second part of Psalm 51. Verse 10 is where he starts. Create in me. It's a new thing. Create in me from nothing, from my vile, sinful heart. Recreate, restore in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In the same way that only God can cleanse him from his sin, so also God is the only one who can create a clean heart, who can restore a clean heart within him, a heart that once again desires and loves righteousness and goodness. God, change my heart. Make me want to pursue your holiness again. And so, David is leaning into the faithfulness of God to do just that. Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit, from me. This is David asking God, God, I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up over and over and over. Don't give up on me just yet. Don't give up on me. It's easy to feel that way sometimes, isn't it? Man, I mess up so much. God, as many times as I fail you, why would you not be tired of over and over putting up with how I fail you? It is because God sees us for who we are. And again, Psalm 103 continues, just as we left off on verse 12, verse 13 picks up on this. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. This is God seeing us for who he is, for who we are. And because of who he is gentle and patient and over willing to forgive in our repentance. When we repent, God doesn't not forgive. That's an amazing thing that we can come to boldly the throne of grace to be reminded of his faithfulness to us. And so this is David's plea. This is the catalyst for how God restores our heart. How does David pray? Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore the joy of your salvation in my life. Remember that day you put your faith in Jesus? That day the burden of sin was lifted by Jesus' sacrifice in the cross on your behalf? Remember that joy that filled your soul because you were no longer bound by sin's chains. Remember that joy? That is the joy of salvation that God restores in your heart. It is that joy that fills a heart that has been fully cleansed and fully restored. It restores your heart. It brings back the joy of knowing that you are fully right with God. That joy, the joy of restoration, the joy of salvation, that joy is what restores David's heart. We see the response of David in relation to the joy that comes to David's heart because of what God has done. It produces two different responses from David. The first is a response in his words. It is a desire to tell others of God's forgiveness. And this is so important. Man, when we have been forgiven, when we have been cleansed, we can't help but share it. And this is exactly what David does. Verse 13, then when you restore that joy, it has to happen first. The joy of God's salvation happens, and then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted to thee. 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Verse 15, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Let me tell anyone who is willing to hear, if God was willing to forgive me from my sins, he will surely deliver you. This is what God's saying. He's not saying, Lord, if you help me, I'll help these other transgressors and sinners. No, he's putting him with them. If God has forgiven me in my transgressions and my sin, so much, he will do the same for you. If God delivered me from how I shed blood in verse 14, how I shed blood, how can I not but sing the righteousness that he has given to me? My dear friend, the more we realize that we have been cleansed and restored, the more our hearts and our tongue will burst with songs of praise and thankfulness to our King. It's a natural response of a restored heart, a heart that has been restored with joy of being in the presence of their King. The second response is seen in our actions. The first response is seen in our words. The second response is seen in our actions. And verses 16 through 19 describe those actions. It's basically, simply put, a desire to serve and live for our restorer. Look at it with me. Verse 16, for thou desirest, and here's an interesting thing. I'm going to read through 16 17, 18, 19. And then there's an interesting point where it changes. Verse 16 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering." This is before repentance. Then we see verse 17, the repentance. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Hold on for a second, because this is interesting. This isn't saying God doesn't want sacrifices. No, he's saying this. Before repentance, sacrifice is meaningless. You know how sometimes when we sin, we try to bypass or ignore or replace humble repentance by trying to sacrifice more, by trying to do more in hopes that, one, maybe God will choose to ignore my sinfulness because of how hard I work for him. Maybe he'll choose to ignore it because I'm so valuable to him because of the way I work for him. Or maybe my sacrifices will be enough to atone for my sin. Maybe I'll sacrifice more, so maybe he will see that and accept that as a replacement for my sin. But this is not what God requires sacrifice for. In God's eyes, what is more important than our trying to dig ourselves out of our hole by sacrificing and by working and serving in hopes that God will either ignore or accept our sacrifices as a replacement for our sin? Rather, God wants us to simply trust him to do the restoring. This is what repentance is. Repentance is saying, "God, I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer. All I can lean on is you to restore me. All I can lean on is you to cleanse me and to restore me." This is why verse 17 is where it is at, and why it's right after verse 16. God doesn't desire sacrifices before repentance. God wants repentance. And then once repentance is there, the response of a cleansed heart, the response of a restored heart is found in verses 18 and verses 19, where it says, "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem." Here's the restoring taking place again. God is restoring not just David, but the whole city of Jerusalem. And then we see the word "then." "Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Once you have repented, and once you have been cleansed, and once you have been restored, then serve away. Sacrifice away, because you have seen the forgiveness and the redemption of your Father. And in response to the joy that comes from having been cleansed, now you can sacrifice in a right way. Now you can serve in a right heart as one who has leaned into the trust and forgive, the leaned in by trust to God who saves you and who redeems you and forgives you and restores you. And in a response of thankfulness, not a response of duty, or maybe this will help me to get back into God's good graces. Rather, God's faithfulness has restored me to his good graces. First must come repentance. And then, as ones who have received his forgiveness and restoration, then we can respond rightly. With joy and thankfulness, we get to serve our Redeemer. This is repentance in a nutshell. In these 19 verses, David gives us, because this is literally what he went through and how the Holy Spirit guided him and helped him through the process of repentance, so that he understood it and he recognized his heart for what it was, and he recognized how he had to lean in by trusting in God's forgiveness, by trusting in God to restore him. And by faith, doing that, He confidently trusted, and also in his time of repentance, he trusted in the future restoration, the joy that would come from God's cleansing and from God's restoring. This, in your time of repentance, is the same thing that you need to lean into, that you need to trust in. As you repent, we all have to repent. There's all kinds of times where we have to face this moment of facing our sin and our sinfulness for what it is and what we are. And in doing so, our response is critical. Do you try to trust in yourself to restore yourself? Do you try to make those sacrifices? Do you excuse yourself? Do you try to make up for your mistakes? Or rather, will you see yourself the way God sees you, but also trust in what he does for you as well? Will you trust in his work of forgiveness and restoration? When it's your time, lean into the words of David. Lean into the heart of David to help you to have the right heart to be able to help you to walk with you through the process of repentance. And in so doing, see the joy that comes from one who has been forgiven, the joy and gladness of one who has been restored because of God's faithfulness to you. And that is how we repent. And that is how we are restored, because of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us. Let's pray. Jesus, the very reason we have access to such kindness and mercifulness, to the abundance, the multitude of mercies, is because you took God's wrath in our place. Thank you. What you have done for us makes all of this possible. We have all of this because of your sacrifice. Even now, you stand next to the Father, interceding for the Father on our behalf, because it is your blood that is what makes us white as snow. Thank you for reminding us of how good and how wonderful a Savior you are through these words of David, to show us how much you love and care for us. Help us to trust in that. Help us to lean into that. Help us to see your goodness in times of our sinfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.